Herm Edwards, the head coach at Arizona State, is someone that we just happened to talk to a few weeks ago. Then the 49ers draft one of his players, which brought us back to another coach, a conversation with coach. And now we have something much bigger and deeper running through America that brings us back to coach. And he's good enough to join us here, Damon Radowinkolsky. Herm Edwards here on 95.7 The Game. Herm, thank you for joining us once again. Our show tries to be conscientious, but we are three white men trying to discuss the issue that Black America is facing right now, and we really appreciate you joining us to help add nuance to the issue that we could never bring to it. Thank you for joining us again.
My pleasure, and I love you guys are bringing this up, because this is what our country's missing right now: our ability to huddle up and talk about hard issues. And this is not a Black issue; this is an American issue for all Americans. And I think it boils down to a couple things, to be quite honest. When you think about Lady Justice, she has scales that are balanced. She has a blindfold on. She'd be ejected when you judge people. And with that blindfold, she doesn't see identity. She doesn't see wealth or power or race. And for people of color, it seems like the scales are not always balanced. And that there lies the problem. And what's kind of interesting to me is I grew up in the 60s. In 1968, I was 14 years old, and Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, and the world was in America was in turmoil. It was it was a lot of things going on, and I remember sitting in the living room and watching what was happening and asking my dad what is this, and we had the conversation. And 52 years later, I have a 14 and a 13-year-old, two little girls, and they're watching this on TV, and they're saying, Dad, why are they doing this? What is this? We're better than this. We are better than this, and I know we are, and I think what we have miscalculated is the fact that this thing has been brewing. It's not just the one incident in Minnesota. This thing is starting to repeat itself. And what's unique about protest is this, is when a protest occurs, you don't see movement very fast, which is understandable. But the next generation of kids, they have to benefit from this. It was like in 1968, right? I benefited from that, believe it or not. And I think movement is protest, when it's not violent, it's a way to get people's attention. And when the violence starts, basically you disregard and you water down what you're trying to say. You hijack what you're trying to say. And as long as this is not violent, and you see people of all color, and you see young people of all color, which is unbelievable, which is similar to football. Football has this unique ability of huddling up with all different guys from all different walks of life, and it doesn't matter. At every level, high school, college, professional, peewee football, they don't care. They respect each other, and they know they need each other to be successful. America needs to huddle up and talk about some hard subjects. That's how you fix this.
But I don't want to, engage a debate, but the thing that I keep coming back to, because I'm actually older than you are, is it almost takes this sort of violent protest to get people to notice at all. That's what it was in, in 1968. It's that people ignored this until it became unbearable for the underclass, and we're there again. Are there things that your kids have asked you about this that remind you of the things you asked your father and your mother about this 50 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, why do the policemen, why are they doing it to this man? Why are they doing this, Dad? Why don't they let him up? Just common sense stuff like that. Empathy. And see, and the problem is 99% of all the police guys, they're good guys. But the problem is when you do something like this, then it stains them all. It's like being an athlete. You know, once you make a mistake, the whole team suffers for that. Not just you individually, but collectively. And everybody gets put in that same thing. Right? And so, you know, that's the problem. And what you cannot allow, you can't allow this to continue to happen. You got to fix it. It doesn't just go away. You have to take those parties that feel this way, they can't control their emotions, and say, you know what? This job is, you chose this job, but with this job, there comes a responsibility. And when you can't handle that, it's not like football, you make a mistake, it's a 15-yard penalty. You make a mistake as a peace officer, and someone's life, they're dead.
You mentioned, obviously, the way football can bring us all together, the huddle, and we've talked to you about sort of the beauty of the huddle before. Given all that and the way you clearly feel about the game, how do you feel about the NFL's response?
Well, I think the league?
Yeah.
The league's response?
Yes, the league, yeah.
It's a big company, right? We get it. I mean, I came to the league in 1977. Not 1957, 1977. There were 8 men of color that were coaches in the league. That's it. Think about that. It was 2018. There was only 8 men of color in the whole league coaching in 1977. There were certain positions when you came into the National Football League, you were kind of discouraged. Yeah, maybe you need to change positions. We know which one it is. Middle linebacker, quarterback, right? I mean, some positions that had leadership attached to it.
Or you got to be smart enough to know the playbook, right?
Oh, isn't well, that... I'm not even going to get into that part.
Yeah.
I won't get into that part. But that was the mindset. And it changed. It changed. It evolved. It kept saying, you know what, let's just make this a level playing field and let people compete and let's just do what we got to do. And we're okay with it. And it's changed.
Sun Devils head coach Herm Edwards here on 95.7 The Game. And I did not mean to cut you off there, Herm. Please continue.
You're fine. You're fine. We got to huddle up, man. I mean, we got to have the hard conversation. Really. No. And the justice system has cracks in it, guys. It has cracks in it. And we know it, we see it, we talk about it, but we don't do anything about it.
Now, there's no doubt that the justice system has major, major, major cracks in it. When it comes to, I think, many, many people listening to this show right now, I can't even imagine how many people listening right now, the very first time you spoke to a person of color was at a sporting event, in a dugout, in a locker room, you know, a guy who's hitting cleanup in your lineup tonight. Like sports, which we've been talking about for 3 months, Coach, how much we miss it. One of the things that I miss is the unifying aspect of sports, and I think that it can provide a vehicle that solves, not solves, nothing is going to solve racism, but when we're trying to figure out what can we do to get better, it feels like the topic for people who are involved in sports is already one that feels like an old topic. Like, you know, we talked to everyone we talk to, there's no drops of racism in the sports that we talk about. It does. And when we're so far removed from sports, I feel like we need its healing power, its gathering power now more than ever.
No, you're right. And I think when you mention racism, you know, and I've always said this, the worst racism is hidden racism. But now racism is actually on tape. You can see it, and it's ugly. It's ugly. And if it doesn't make you angry as an American, I don't care what color you are, then something's wrong. Okay? But now it's on tape. You can actually get it on tape. You can film it. We see it. And this is why these young people have watched it and over and over and over again, and they're going, what is this? This is This is not right.
That said, what's the response for a young man, let's say, who's on your team,
mm-hmm.
and says, I don't know that football is what I want to do right now. My world's changed.
Right.
Do you allow them to find what is most important to them? Do you try to tell them, I can help you get there? What do you do as a sort of a de facto parent of an extended family of 90 people, many of whom are men of color?
Well, basically, part of it is to teach them how to be men and be good fathers and be good citizens and be good community leaders. Because most of them, guys, we know this, only 2% is actually going to play football for a living. The rest of them are going to get on with their life work. And we all know that. And that's just not men of color. That's the whole team. And I think they have to understand, you just can't go in your home and hide and say it's okay with me. You know, these are the tough conversations that you got to have at home with your kids. You know, character like good soup is made at home. What are the conversations you have with the kids? Supper time. These are the conversations you have to have.
Beyond teaching them to be good men, what is the? I mean, I assume if we were in season right now,
yes.
when everyone comes in for practice on Monday, you're going to address the team about what happened this weekend. What does that address sound like?
It's one of truth. It's one of the fact of the matter is that, you know, we all have a voice. But make sure you're educated about what you're about to say. You know, I've always said this, it's one thing to be passionate about something, which is fantastic, but you can't become emotional about everything because bad things happen. It just do. And as much as we have looked at this and watched it unfold, it's great to see the passion part of it, of the protest, but when it becomes emotional, then it becomes rioting. And that's not the message at all. And I think you have to take away with this what you take away from it. And I think everyone has a voice. You don't have to be a celebrity. It's the people you associate with from all different walks of life. Whatever that clique of people you have conversations with, this is the conversation that has to come up. And it's a hard conversation because it's not pretty. It's not fun to talk about. But it has to become better for the next generation of people that might have to deal with this. For the kids that are growing up, this is going to be their America, okay? It's going to be their America, and they have a point right now in our lives that we can shape it and turn the direction of this if we all understand what's important to us.
Coach Herm Edwards, Arizona State University, here on 95.7 The Game, and I just want to ask you a direct question because
sure.
Matt and I are both raising 10-month-old sons right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Growing up, you know, our sons are white men. They're going to be white men, and the best that I think we can do is to raise them to be noble, honest, unbiased white men. As someone who has had to raise children who are black, it's right. just such a different existence. It's such a different world. What can we teach our children, Coach? What do we need to teach our children beyond the obvious, treat people well, be kind to each other? What is a true lesson that white fathers don't teach their white sons often enough?
Well, I think sometimes we try to walk in other people's shoes. You know, try to walk in other people's shoes. And, you know, my daughters have been privileged. Right, they've been privileged because of my ability to play football, coach football, and I tell them that all the time. You know, I tell them that. And growing up, you know, I made sure that they understood that this is a privilege, and all kids don't get these same opportunities you guys are getting right now. And that make sure that in your life, you always extend a hand to give people a hand up. That's important. What are you going to do for somebody else? What are you going to do for somebody else to make it better? Whether it's words of encouragement, how you treat people. You know, one thing I do know, it doesn't matter what nationality you are, what religious belief, political, doesn't matter. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And when you see wrong, don't turn the blind eye. Say something. Say something.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah.
How much does sort of the emotions of the day and the dynamic that we're now moving into as a country affect how you view your job? Because I think, and I don't know this as a fact because I've never been a coach, but it seems to me that coaches now have a greater responsibility to teach more than football than maybe in decades. And I guess I'll just ask you this. How much different a coach do you have to be given the dynamics of this year?
Well, I think not just this year. That was the reason I got into it. It's basically, as a coach at any profession, at any sport, no coach has the ability to give a player talent. God gives him the talent. What you have the ability to do is give them knowledge. They have talent, but no experience. You give them knowledge, and you allow them to have experience. And through that, you develop a young man. You know, I know this. Good men, they become good fathers, they become good football players, they become good husbands, they become good community leaders. That's what they do. And when you're in this huddle with all these different personalities and different walks of life, you learn how to deal with people. And you accept them. And you respect them. That's what the game teaches you. That's what the game taught me, to be quite honest. Guys, I got bussed. I got bussed to the Potomac White High School. I went to Monterey High. I lived in Seaside. Are you kidding me? I got bussed. So, I mean, all these things are a factor in your life. And sports, the game of football, it's just this wonderful thing. Because as you grow and you just learn so much about different guys and different persons. When you go to guys' houses in high school, you know, and their family, cook this dinner and the other family cooks that dinner. There's experiences that football gives you an idea of what it looks like at someone else's home and how they live. That's knowledge.
Coach, we thank you so much for joining us. We really, really do. It feels almost gauche to ask you a football question, but while we have you on the air, yep, we have to ask you, since you're a coach in the Pac-12 and yep, we share our backyard with the Pac-12. I know your state is reopening. How yep are you preparing for your season, sir?
Well, we're actually going to start on the 15th. Now, we're bringing them in not as a whole team. You know, there's going to be groups that you bring in. We're bringing them in slow. They're going to be finally with the weight coach, and they'll do some lifting, and then obviously some running as well. But they're coming in different groups and in different stages. So we're not bringing a whole 120 guys in right away. We're trying to safety is the prime thing that we're talking about. I just sent a message today to our players about how we're going to do this, how it's going to work, how it's going to look, you know. And I told you guys many times that this is a sport where social distancing is not part of the program. And now we got to try to do that and still coach football.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy that we've started a relationship and created a relationship with you. We really appreciate you today of all days. Thank you so much, Coach.
My pleasure, man. God bless you. Stay safe.